The thing about this is that God, when Jesus spoke to them, God was going to give them the promise of that he promised in the book of Joel, that he was going to give them the Holy Spirit. But they couldn't wait 10 days. They had over 1,000 people that had been there, that had heard Jesus, several of them that had knew what he was going to do. It was hundreds of them that went to wait, but only 120 of them stayed there and waited. Now, what that tells me is that after all those people that heard the same word, is only a few people that's going to stand on the word. And so only the ones who had really been with Jesus, I wish I had somebody here, are able to endure and wait for the empowerment. I'm waiting on the empowerment.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
You are listening to the very best of community radio, presenting the gospel at 88.1. This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria, Louisiana.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
Get your Bibles, stand on your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for the privilege of hearing your word. Allow the Holy Ghost to tailor the text that we're teaching, meeting us right where we are, lifting us to the place you'd have us to be. Let us practice these principles for profit, and more especially give you all praise. For it is in Jesus' name we pray, and the people of God said amen.
Amen.
God bless you. I want you to turn your Bibles, if you will, to St. Luke chapter 22. And I want to commence reading at verse 54. Luke chapter 22. And I shall begin reading at verse 54. Recorded are these words. Then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, "This man was also with him." And he denied him, saying, "Woman, I know him not." And after a little while, another saw him and said, "Thou art also of them." And Peter said, "Man, I am not." And about the space of 1 hour, after another confidently affirmed saying, of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word and to the believers who yield to his spirit. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, some things that lead to denial. Some things that lead to denial. Long before Peter ever denied the Lord, Peter had prepared the groundwork for the denial. Great illnesses seldom attack the body without previous warning signs and symptoms. Great falls seldom happens to a saint without a previous course of secret backsliding. The church and the world are sometimes shocked by the sudden misconduct of some prominent follower of Christ, some major minister, some TV evangelist, etc. And believers are discouraged and stumbled by it. The enemies of God rejoice and blaspheme. But if the truth could be known, the explanation for such cases would generally be found to have been a private departure from God. When we look at this word today, and we'll see this, it has been said, the tree falls with a great crash, but the secret decay which accounts for it is often not discovered till it is down on the ground. In other words, there are those of us who are shocked at those of us who do fall, who miss the mark, and some things can never ever readily be revealed until after the fall has been made. But everything that we hear and see in the text today, my brothers and sisters, is a warning to help us understand what leads to the denial of our Christ. Now, Peter's under examination today, but I think it prudent and profitable if we look and see ourselves in the scripture and make sure that we take heed ourselves, because the truth of the word and the Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. If you don't stop it sooner or later, it will stop you. And so it's important for us to look at what was taking place underneath the skin, what happened with Peter that caused him to deny the Lord. And you're going to discover that they are not great big old things that bring us to a certain place where we say it was a horrible, heinous sin, but they're the sins that we deal with on a daily basis. Some of the sins that many of us are guilty of right now for denying the Lord. And the first one that I want to call to attention is pride. Pride is one of the first things that lead us in the path to denying the Lord. Peter's pride, which helped him bring this fall upon himself, is seen in two ways. The first one is ignoring the personal warning from Christ that said to him that he would deny him that night. Matthew 26:34 reveals this, Mark 14:30, Luke 22:34. All of these were personal warnings to Peter. Peter, he goes to him, he shares with him, he acknowledges many things to Peter, helping Peter to provide himself with the necessary warning and preparation so that he does not fall weak to the things of the enemy. He lets him know, man, the devil wants to sift you as wheat, but I prayed for you. He's made clear, listen, Peter, I don't know if you really know it. He said, but everybody's going to be offended because of me this night. Peter's pride, being the leader of the group would not allow him to know that Jesus supernaturally speaking this word, having a word that was real and right and ready, should have been a warning for him to get himself together and put himself in check. But rather than taking this as a warning, he thought to almost rebuke the Lord Jesus by denying that he would deny him. Peter makes clear, because when he says in essence to the Lord, "Lord, you really don't know what you're talking about. I am faithful, I am committed, I am dedicated, and nothing is going to make me deny you." Well, we see another step, another level to his pride. Jesus then makes it personal and said, "Listen, Peter, I hate to bring it to your attention, but not only are you going to deny me once, but before the cock crows three times, you will have denied me three times." He then insists, he strengthens and intensifies his argument that he is not going to deny Jesus. Then he points the finger and says, "Though all the rest of them." He wants Jesus to really know, intensified his complaint that he was not going to deny. If all the rest of them deny, listen, even if I have to die for you, die with you, you can count on me. And the others threw in their amen with that. Now, I want you to understand something, because if it's important for you to see what Jesus is showing us through the life of Peter, it's important for you to understand that history repeats itself. It's important for you to understand that we too know better than Peter. If we do not follow the warning of the Lord Jesus Christ, we too will wind up denying him in our own life's experiences. And you will recognize, my brothers and sisters, that this is how the enemy works. The first thing he uses is pride. But then he moves on from pride, and we'll see another factor in the Word of God, and it's prayerlessness. Prayerlessness. Well, if you're prideful, 9 out of 10 times, you're going to be prayerless. And prayerlessness is an important thing to watch out for, because when you recognize that you don't pray, and Jesus has already said, man ought always pray and not what? And not faint. Now here's the problem. We faint, we fall short, we get weak, we give up, we give out, we give in, because we have not had the power of prayer to sustain us. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus had already warned Peter to watch with him for an hour while he went a little further and prayed. Here's what's important, that we understand that Jesus needs us to understand that prayer must precede our victory. If you really want to be successful at something, if you really want to accomplish something, if you really want to do something that's noteworthy, then it should be preceded by prayer. What Peter missed was his lack of follow through on the recommendation of the Lord Jesus Christ to watch. Listen, not fight and pray, but to watch with him. And that literally incorporated and included him being prayerful. Not for Jesus, but for himself. Making sure that he understood that if he were not in a position and place of being prayerful, he could not stand against the wiles of the devil. What he didn't understand was that he needed to do in the Garden of Gethsemane would have prepared him for the position he now finds himself in. What you don't understand is that though tomorrow is coming, you need to be prayed up today. What you've got to understand is that would happen in your life and in my life, situations and circumstances that will hit you so fast and so quick that you won't even have time to pray. As a matter of fact, when you find yourself, you'll be getting up off the ground and shook up and in another state of mind. You have got to have sent up some timber already to deal with the stuff you couldn't see before it came. Too many of us misuse the opportunity to pray. The day of is not the time to pray. The time of is not the time to pray. Preparation should be saturated in prayer. And being at a point where he followed a man of prayer, prayer should have been a part of his warfare. Prayer should have been a part of his preparation. Prayer should have been a part of what was a part of his life. But he had issues in the flesh that he could not see because he was not in a spiritual state where prayer could have strengthened him for the journey. And so my brothers and sisters, I think I need to tell you, if you don't know it, you need to step up your prayer life. Especially if you're in a place where you're expecting victory. You need to step up your prayer life, especially when the enemy is attacking your life. You need to step up your prayer life. If you're expecting God to do some supernatural and miraculous thing in your life, you need to step up your prayer life. When the enemies and the hellhounds are on your trail, you need to step up your prayer life. If you want to get closer to God, have more intimate fellowship with God, you need to step up your prayer life. Because what you'll discover is the weaker you are in prayer, the stronger the devil's attacks are against your life. Pride hit him, and instead of humbling himself, he intensified his pride and in essence told the Lord, "You don't know what you're talking about." And then would not humble himself before the other men and pointed his fingers at them and what they were not in his own estimation. And yet he put himself on a high pedestal. And then he did not pray. That was so important to him being successful in his journey. A lack of prayer prepares for a lack of progress. I said a lack of prayer prepares for a lack of progress. Lack of prayer will create many other lacks in your life. Listen at this. Not only was his problem a pride problem, and not only was his problem a prayerless problem, but you're going to also understand that his problem was a place problem. He was in the wrong place. Look at verse 55, Luke 22, 55. "And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them." He was in the wrong place. Peter put himself in a place where the temptation to deny the Lord was very strong. Now, if you go back and read verse 54, the Bible makes clear, "Then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off." That's where the problem began to unfold itself. Following Jesus afar off. The pride that he had, the prayerlessness that he himself endured, and now being in the wrong place. You see, when he followed Jesus afar off, he left too much space. Have you ever been traveling with someone and that was a lead car and you were following them and somehow you started lagging behind and they started moving a little faster and then one car jumps in the middle of you and that person and then another car comes on the side to keep you from getting out to get around and then another car moves over in front of that car and before you know it you can see the car barely to know what's going on. But then if you ever get to a point and place where there is a traffic jam or a red light and you are further separated because the light then catches you and they keep on going. Well, the problem is if you had kept up, you wouldn't have to catch up. And there ought to always be a readiness and an alertness about staying the pace. But fear caused him to lack behind the Lord, to lag behind the Lord, to stay in a slow pace because he didn't know what to expect. He was fearful of his own life, and I don't know why, when he had already said to the Lord, listen, if I got to die with you, I'm ready to do it. So if he was already prepared to die, which means he was just talking talk out of pride and not out of reality, he would have stayed right up there with Jesus, said, wherever you're taking him, you got to take me too, because I'm going with him. But no, that was not true. It was just a whole lot of talk. And talk will one day bring us to the proving ground. And here, Peter, listen at this, knowing all the talk, he had just got through talking. Not long ago is now on the proving ground. And so now he tries to get close to Jesus. He's trying to, Jesus is in the house and he out in the hall. He's out there now and he's trying to get close enough to see what's going on and try and hear what's happening to see what the situation has come to. And so there the record is that they warmed a fire, started one. But this fire, listen at this, was for the men who brought Jesus in, who delivered him to the authorities. They didn't go in and were a part of the meeting or the judgment or the court hearings. They had done their job. They just needed to deliver. They had delivered him. And even at this point in the year, though the days were hot, the nights were very cold. And so these men built themselves a fire. They had finished their job, and now they were waiting to see what was going to happen next. They weren't dismissed. They were just waiting for their next assignment. Where do we take Jesus? So they are heating themselves up by a fire, and Peter tries to act like he's one of the boys. And so he eases on up to the fire. What's going on? Yeah, he's getting warm there. He's trying to fit in. You know how it is when we know we don't fit in places. How we try to talk the talk like they talk. What's up? You know, all the talk, the lingo that we use trying to fit in. If you know you are no longer in the world, why are you trying to talk like the world? To fit in, though, because you have a hidden agenda. Peter's agenda was to try and get closer to Jesus, find out what's happening, and the best that he could do was to go into a place where Jesus was not and hang out with the folk who delivered him to the authority and try to get his understanding from the wrong people. And so there he is there. He's in the wrong place. Tell somebody the wrong place. Peter sat down among them according to that 55th verse rather. Now, that meant he got comfortable. He didn't just show up, but he stayed there long enough to get comfortable. Now, let me say this to you. One of the first things that lead you into, again, the more progressive steps of denial is when you get in a place where the haters of the Lord Jesus Christ hang out at. And you get there and remain there till you become comfortable, then it becomes more hard and difficult for you to stand up for Jesus when you're sitting down with his enemies. I wish I had somebody who heard me here. See, if you are on the opposer's team, you have no fellowship with them. You have no communion with them. You have no time of intimate conversation with them if you're on the opposite team. But he went in under the cloak of not being with Jesus, and he tries to become familiar with them, and he realizes that these are the enemies to Jesus, but yet he allows himself to become comfortable. May I say, whether it's on your job, whether it's with your friends, whether it's with family members who don't love the Lord, wherever it is, if you go into a place where you know they are the enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you don't go in identifying that I belong with the Lord and try to get in where you fit in and become comfortable to try and get news that you think is newsworthy so that you can gauge how close you are back to trying to get with Jesus, can I tell you, you're doing it the wrong way. And so here the record is clear, and it shows us that another level of denial comes in when not only do you allow pride to get you there, not only do you allow prayerlessness to get you there, but thirdly, when you allow the place where you are to make you comfortable in a place where people hate Jesus. I got news for you. There are many places that many of us hang out that are enemies to our Lord. And so we don't put on our church clothes to go there. We put on our clothes that look like the world. And we start disrobing ourselves almost down to nothing to fit in to the places of irrepute and the places where the people are caught up on the flesh and not on the substance and soul of a person. And we dress ourselves like the world in part to create an atmosphere of temptation and create an atmosphere of being watched. And all of that is an enemy to the camp of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't go into those places talking about you a child of God just wanting to see what's going on. You do not bring a good message to the world by dressing like the world, acting like the world, doing like the world, being where the world is, and then talking like the world. It's in you being peculiar and different and unusual and not like the world that brings the right attention to the enemy concerning the camp of Jesus Christ. So here are three people. Young girl comes by and says, oh, you were one of the ones that were with it. Sorry, baby, I'm not the one. Then a man comes and says, hey, man, you do look like one of them. Because now remember now, Peter did pull out a sword, cut off the high priest's servant's ear. Jesus had to perform surgery right quick, put the ear back on, gave him better hearing after the surgery than he had before. Told Peter, put up the sword. If you live by the sword, you'll die by the sword. Some folk heard and saw that situation, and they recognized Peter. Now Peter has disrobed himself, and he's changed his apparel. No longer has his sword, and he's trying to look like a commoner and tries to fit in. And the man says, no, I've seen you. You were with him. Peter denies him again. I like that some of the other writers makes it a little clear that Peter didn't just deny him the third time, as Luke says he does. Luke is a physician. He's an intelligent man. He don't take it down to the lower degree. So he didn't bring out the fact that Peter cussed him. Peter said, look, so-and-so, I told you, I don't know the man. And you know how it is, we feel like when we add cussing, that strengthens our point. You get the point when I cuss. Don't sit here and act like y'all don't know what I'm talking about. We don't feel like we can add a few three-letter words, four-letter words, five-letter words, and whatever necessary to make our point. We don't feel like we can articulate our thoughts and concerns well enough that we don't have to curse to get our point over. I know since you're saved, you don't cuss, but you remember when you weren't saved. And they made you mad and you kept telling them, you said, look, I ain't gonna tell you another. I think Peter, in his desire to want to be right, allowed his flesh to make a decision for him that was not good for his spirit. So, number one, his pride got him in that problem. Number two, as he moved from pride, he went into prayerlessness. Number three, he was in the wrong place. But all of that was